May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, you may want to raise your hand or just nod your head or tap your feet if you've done any of this. Ever fallen or drop something trying to get to a ringing phone? You can tap your feet. Okay, ignored a ringing phone because you knew who it was. Picked up the phone and said something unkind because you thought you knew who it was. And suddenly you realized it was somebody very special. Ever stayed home from some place you really wanted to go because you were expecting an important call? Ever sat by the phone waiting for someone to call? Have you done that before? We've all experienced one sort of call or another. And the call of God, as read to us by Liz in Isaiah chapter 6, is well known in Scripture. King Uzziah was one of the greatest kings of Judah. He reigned for about 52 years in Jerusalem and was the most outstanding monarch after David and Solomon. You find that in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Isaiah served as an official in the royal court with many worries in his heart after the death of the king Uzziah. He went into the temple of God, into the presence of God. He needed to be prepared to serve the Lord in a hostile environment. The environment was really hostile. And the king, before now, had provided some sort of security. We are all called to serve the Lord in all times, and serving in difficult times requires supernatural preparations. And the times in which the church exists is really difficult. It's a time in which it appears the world is increasingly becoming resistant to the gospel. And like I said during the children's talk, it does appear to me that oftentimes the church does help to create that resistance, imagined and perceived resistance of the world. Because for many, they may not be as resistant as they are to the gospel as we imagine. Isaiah's call came in the form of a vision, a dream in which he saw God way up on the throne with a kingly robe, so huge, and the hem of it completely filled the temple. You can imagine having a robe that filled the whole of this sanctuary. That was unimaginable. He saw strange beasts with lots of wings who were attending to God and proclaiming God's holiness with such power that the temple shook and smoke filled everywhere. I'm sure that most of us may not claim to have had such an experience. But I suppose that many of us would have had such moments in our Christian journey, a time in our lives that could be said to be wow, a time in our spiritual journey that was mind-blowing. It could be at a time when you were passing through some difficulties, or maybe even in a service where it appeared as though your eyes was open and your mind was open to the gospel. A time in which God became real to you. It wasn't just the story they say, but a time of personal encounter with God. It may not be like that of Isaiah, but I suppose that some here may have had such times in their lives. A time when you say, I have no other argument, like the songwriter says, that Jesus loves me. A time in which the love of God is no longer far-fetched. It is something that you live as a daily reality in your life. A time in which you've had what you might call a personal experience of God. Perhaps not in the way that Isaiah, experienced it. After Isaiah saw the vision, he cried out, "Woe is me, I am lost, and I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." In our New Testament reading, Peter cried out, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. Go away from me." Have there been times in your life when infuriated by someone that you have shouted, "Get out of my life"? Or maybe said something, "Just go away. Go away, just go away." Or maybe you've said something like, "For God's sake, just get out." Have you found yourself saying anything like that? Now, the remarkable thing about this is that although Peter said a word like that, "Go away from me," Jesus simply ignored that appeal for separation. He ignored it and said to him, "Get up and follow me." Because there was this potential that Jesus saw in the life of Peter that human eyes could not see. The point is this, that when we have a proper vision of our Almighty God and His holiness, then only we will come to know who we are, how sinful we are, and how undeserving we are of His mercies. The mercies, His faithfulness, His love towards us. It's only when we have this proper vision of Him that the scripture will come to light. We begin to see how privileged we are to be in the family of God. When the eyes of Peter was opened and the eyes of Isaiah was opened, they appreciated the amazing love of God. Isaiah and Peter had many things to boast till they had their different visions. In fact, it is after Isaiah had had this vision in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, he now wrote, "All our righteousness, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags." It is grace that has brought us to salvation. It is grace that will keep us till the end. We should stop being so preoccupied with our own unworthiness. We should get up on our feet and follow our Lord. We should not tie ourselves to our past, because God's grace is greater than our past. And we shouldn't even tie people to their past. Tie people to their past history. Tie people to who they were yesterday. Because today is a new day. We can pick up and walk with God as new people. The Bible says that those who are in Christ are new creations. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. It is so easy to tie people, to keep people in their past, to keep people in where they were yesterday, without realizing that God is doing a new thing today. Today is a new day. And today offers us new opportunities to do things differently, to be new people, and to walk in the newness of the calling that God has for our lives. So we should free people, we should free members of community, members of congregation from their past. The one thing I would like us to take home today is that God is calling you, God is calling me, God is calling you. God is calling you as a person, not just as a congregation. There's a sense in which we could say that God is calling us as St. John's. But we could also say, in one sense, that God is calling us individually and as families to go out there and make a difference. Often when we talk about calling, we tend to focus so much on the work that God calls us to do. But again, we need to emphasize that calling is not so much about what we do as about who we do it for. So it's so much about who we do the work for. Calling makes no sense without there being first a caller. There has to be a caller for calling to be important. And the caller, in this sense, is our Lord Jesus Christ. We are first and foremost called to be in relationship with God, and that is really important. And then across the course of our lifetime, to do whatever specific task God asks us to do. And that is why you hardly retire. Even when you retire, you say, I've given up this service. You suddenly find yourself doing something else. Because there's always something in the household of God, in the community, for us to do in service of God. God will provide a training. He will equip us. Because whoever he calls, he equips. I have said severally how I felt incompetent at the time I was receiving the call to ministry. And I had always wanted to sit and serve from behind. I had always imagined the difficulty of standing and saying things week after week. But you know, it is not by power, it is not by might. It is God's Spirit that makes the difference. And so every day, we fall back to that grace. We fall back to God for grace and for strength. And for some of us in the past 2 years, never thought they would ever stand here to lead in prayers. But you see how God works in the lives of people. For some, they thought it is for such and so people to do it. But you can see that over the past 2 years, you are able to do it. And more people are able to do things they never thought they would ever do. God responded to Isaiah's guilt with a cleansing and words of forgiveness. Your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. And then they call, whom shall I send? Ask God, and who will go for us? Isaiah responded and said, here am I, send me. Send me, I want to be used. I want to be an agent in your hand. Send me. Isaiah knew that God does not send us and stay back. He is going every step along the way. He said to the disciples, I will be with you every step. I will be with you till the end of the age. Which is to say, as you are going, I am going with you. He does not send us and go back. The sending God is the going God. The God who sends is the God who goes. So if he has called you on a mission, if he has sent you on a mission, you can be rest assured that you are not going to be there alone. He will walk with you every step along the way. He will give you the strength, the encouragement, the support, the power, the energy that you require at every point in time. God gave Isaiah a message that speaks of a suffering servant who will blot away our transgressions. God is calling you. Perhaps we need to stop. Take a wee break. Discern God's voice. And perhaps say today, here am I, send me. The purpose of your life is waiting to be fulfilled. And God can accomplish it whether you are 5, whether you are 10, whether you are 50, whether you are 100 years old. Can we say today, here am I, send me. Amen.